Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. Here's some happy news. Ross, you ready?
I'm ready.
Were you a fan of Alanis Morissette? Did you have the Jagged Little Pill album? I have to admit, I did.
You know, I didn't have the album, but every time it came on the radio, I like her songs. I do.
Yeah, I cranked it up. I did. And, you know, love stuff. But she's going back to Israel, which means she's already been there. So good on you, Alanis. She will be there 30th of July, I do believe. So there you go. She's going back there. There's someone who wants to live there. Who's that?
Roseanne. Roseanne wants to not only visit. Roseanne, the famous Jewish actress and comedian, wants to make Aliyah go back to Israel. She said she even has this strange vision that she wants to be the prime minister.
Ooh.
I mean, she's really, yeah. I mean, a lot of people might want to move to Israel, but she wants to move and kind of run the show.
That's Roseanne Barr, or as I like to call her, Suzanne. But that was another program.
But she is a strong advocate for Israel. Let's give her that.
She is. She absolutely is.
Very, very against BDS.
Very much against the BDS movement. Good on her. She's so she wants to make Aliyah. Well, you never know. Look, if Donald Trump can be president, she can be prime minister. You never know.
Hey, I did like, you know, at one time she was not for Israel. And she was asked in an interview in Israel National News. I saw this in an article we posted on our Facebook page. They asked her, what happened? I mean, how did you make that transformation? And she said, well, I got informed. I stopped reading The Guardian and Haaretz and other, and I'm not going to say the word, something rags. Mm-hmm. So she said she started reading some official, not the fake news, but she started reading real news and studying, and she fell in love with Israel. Now she's a staunch advocate. She's against BDS, and she will jump on anybody who boycotts Israel. I say, let her in, let her move in. She said she wants to be a little old lady on a farm in Israel and hopefully bring her family there.
Nice. That's beautiful. I'll tell you what, she probably stopped listening to the fake news and started listening to Israel On My Mind, and it changed her mind on Israel. She's educated now, and she wants to support Israel, and she's doing that exactly. I hope she does make Aliyah.
Hey, I bet she listens to our show. Good day, Roseanne.
Good day, Roseanne. All right, we've got, boy, our show is absolutely jam-packed. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind with Jono Vandoor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hey, Jono. How are you?
Mate, I am going to do something that I have never... I don't believe I've done this on radio. This is a first. I've been avoiding what I'm about to say. I try to keep out of politics, and I certainly try to keep out of politics when it involves another country, a country not my own. But
are you gonna stir up controversy? You just told me that you've never done this, and you've done some crazy stuff. So yeah. I'm a little bit worried now.
It's true, but honestly, I always have tried to stay out of politics. And like I said, when it's not a country my own, but I have to say, Ross, I have to say, I'm a big fan. A big fan. I'm very impressed with your president.
Are you? And in what way? Because, you know, you did kick it off with something controversial, because people either love our president or they don't even accept him as our president. You are talking about Donald J. Trump.
That's who I'm talking about. Look, over and over again, he impresses me. I think that he is wonderful for the Jewish people. I think he's wonderful for Israel. I think he's infinitely better than the previous president, Obama. I don't think that Obama was a friend of Israel at all. And I am just full of optimism. Can I just say that? And very appreciative of that which he has done already. I'm talking about things like proclaiming May to be Jewish American Heritage Month.
Wow.
He's saying that Jewish Americans have helped guide the moral character of our nation. He's talking about maybe coming to the embassy opening.
You know, that is something that really, really, to your point, I mean, even the fact that this administration selects May 14th as the day to officially mm-hmm. open the embassy, obviously that's playing off of May 14th, 1948. I mean, you're right. I mean, as far as standing with Israel, he has clearly demonstrated no lack of courage. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely no lack of courage. He said, I will move the embassy. And a lot of people said, yeah, let's just wait and see if it happens. Let's just wait. He says, people
right,
say.
Right.
But he's a man who says and does. And lo and behold, it is happening. There's no question about it. Look, his daughter is Jewish. His son-in-law is Jewish. His grandchildren are Jewish. And
right.
He now another thing that impressed me, Ross, this past week is that I read that he is going to allow Jonathan Pollard to come to Israel for the embassy opening.
Wow. See, and I saw an article. Now, a lot of our listeners probably know Jonathan Pollard. 30 years in a U.S. prison, convicted of espionage for Israel. He's 61 years old. Now, as I understand it, Jono, he was released, but there has been a refusal of the U.S. government to allow him to make aliyah and go back to Israel. Is that the way you understand it?
That was the position taken by the Obama presidency, the administration. And so he was not allowed to leave. Now, I don't know if it was just Israel or if he wasn't allowed to leave the country, but he certainly wasn't allowed to go home. And it's unreasonable. It's excessive, the treatment of Jonathan Pollard. He certainly should be allowed to go free. Time has been served and he should go home. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trump forgets to pack him and bring him back.
I'll tell you what, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Mm. Now, you know, this whole thing about the embassy, I'm really excited. Not only, you remember on December the 6th, the U.S. president said, we are going to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. As you stated, this had been declared since 1995. This whole, our entire Congress voted this law into existence, saying that we, the American people, should move. It was called the American Embassy Act of 1995, and it was the whole purpose of it was that we would begin to make plans, but time after time, they executed this, I guess you would call it a waiver, a presidential waiver, where it would extend the declaration 6 months. So 6 months since 1995, successive presidents would move this. Now, here, I'll be honest with you, Jonah, when he ran and he declared this at an AIPAC conference, I thought, oh, here we go again, because he's not the first to say he was going to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So I honestly didn't know if it would happen. I've had my hopes up mm-hmm. with each and every one of these presidents. But now that he did it, you notice we talked about it a little bit last week. I think there are four other countries who have already declared that they would move their embassy.
Well,
that
list is growing, Ross. The list is growing. I see that Paraguay have just put up their hand.
I did see that.
Now, who was the first to raise their flag? It was Guatemala.
Guatemala, it's already flying.
It's already flying. So they and good on them. They beat the U.S. To Jerusalem, and they are the first to move the embassy. And the U.S. will be there soon.
Let me just throw this in. It looks like, and this may be politics, you know, between Guatemala and the U.S., but as I understand it, their official opening, Guatemala's, is May 16th. And I don't
That's
know
correct.
if America put a little pressure and said, hey, come on, man, let us go first. I don't know. But to your point, Guatemala's flag is flying, and Prime Minister Netanyahu says, hey, it is nice to see your flag flying in. Yeah. And he said, I think in his speech, welcome back to our eternal capital.
Now, this is, you say five, it may be six. I'm not too sure. I'm just trying to count it in my head. But we may be looking at six that have put up their hand and said, yeah, we're going to make it happen. That may still include Romania. You pointed out last week that there's still a question mark. There's some processes that need to happen. But as we mentioned also last week, Netanyahu did say, first 10 in, preferential treatment. So I don't know what the holdup is for Australia, but I hope they get it happening soon. My goodness. But now, speaking of the opening, you've got some news. What's going on with you?
Oh, look, I am so excited. This is a big, big deal. I have something very exciting. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I might have something fun going on here in the U.S. It looks like I know it's going to happen now because I have a ticket. I am ready to go. On May the 15th, I will be in Washington, D.C. With a delegation from United Israel World Union, the organization through which I'm a vice president. Mm-hmm. I'm going with a couple of other officers to attend the annual celebration of the historic reunification of Jerusalem. And currently, it is planned to take place at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. Now, what they've done is this celebration, the event that I'll be attending, is meant to coincide with this annual celebration of Yom Yerushalayim. And, of course, our listeners know that that's the anniversary of the capture of the old city from occupying forces. So I'm really looking forward to this. There will be members of Congress there, U.S. and Israeli diplomats, Jewish and Christian leaders from all over the U.S., and I am extremely excited about this. So hopefully, when we get there, there'll be a lot of closed circuit television coming in from other places. And, you know, there's even rumors that we may have some really, really celebrated speakers. And listen, I am hoping that Nikki Haley is there. Now, I don't have any. Wouldn't that be really
cool?
Well,
I was going to say, I mean, it would be really cool. And there you say some headline speakers. I'm just wondering how many of those headline speakers will be stolen by them going to Jerusalem for the opening of the embassy there.
That's true.
A rumor that Nikki Haley may be there, but I have no doubt that you'll be rubbing shoulders with some very influential people who are real Israel supporters. So you'll be there representing United Israel World Union. You'll be there I'm telling you now, Ross, you'll be there representing Israel News Talk Radio as well.
I absolutely will. And I think you mentioned that I'll be rubbing elbows with some influential people. I can bet that those people, when they see me walk in the room, that they're just going to be fawning, think about it.
Israel News Talk Radio personality in the room. Yeah, you need someone to walk in first with a ticket machine and just say, look, take a ticket, get in a line, autographs will be signed by Ross right here. And
I'm going to do it.
You should do that. I look forward to that.
See, the thing about it is, Jonah, you have to present yourself in such a way that people go, who is that man? I mean, who is that guy over there with the nice gray suit? Because that's the best suit I have. but I'll have my Israeli cufflinks. I am going to be Israeled out. You hear me?
What you're telling me is you're going to be wearing a tie.
I am going to be wearing a tie. And I have a cool tie. You remember Mitch that went on our tour with us?
Yeah, g'day, Mitch.
He gave me a tie with a gray tie that matches perfectly. And it's got all these cities of Israel on the tie. I think I might wear my Israel tie.
Ah, nice one. I love Mitch. Mitch gave, when we were there in 2015, Mitch gave me a kippah with the Israeli flag and the Australian flag on it.
Mitch is a cool guy. Mitch needs to go back with us. We're talking about our tour like everybody knows about it. These people need to know that they can go with us.
Mitch and Sharon Olofsky, g'day, in Brooklyn, New York, I think. And g'day to you guys. And yes, the Tanakh Tour has been running. This is the fourth Tanakh Tour that we'll be doing this November. And boy, there are a few tickets left. They're going quickly, but there's a few tickets left. We would love for Israel on My Mind listeners to join us. You can do that by going to truth2u.org. That's truth2u.org. And just follow the links where you can secure your place to be with you, with me, and with Rabbi Tovia Singer on a really spectacular, boy, what we've got planned, Ross. My goodness, it's going to be incredible.
That's going to be a wonderful tour. Now, look, I'm going to tell you that when I'm in the company of all these people, when I'm not signing autographs, I really would like to maybe even go live. I think it's going to be really fun, and I'm going to definitely be talking to people about Israel on My Mind and United Israel. It's just going to be a great time to be with other lovers of Israel.
That's it. All right, we are going to be going to a break. We will be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Dorn, Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Ross, it's just been a really funny week. I mean, some of the news of this past week has just been very entertaining. One of those things, of course, is the Mossad agents that snuck nuclear files, half a ton of nuclear files, out of Iran.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? How? Let me ask you something. I mean, I've read the articles on this. Now, obviously, they're not going to share every detail of how they did it, this act. But I'm thinking, how the hell do you sneak in? They get this material from the southern part of Tehran. Mm-hmm. So these agents go in, and from what I understand, they get hundreds of kilos of paper and digital files on the Iran nuclear program, and they smuggle them out of the country into Israel the same night.
The same night. I'm telling you now, I want to turn it into a miniseries. I want to watch that.
Oh, I would love to. And you know, it's really, really amazing that they pull off what they pull off. But you know, I can imagine that Prime Minister Netanyahu was very, very proud to stand up and show the world that he was right.
Yes, and of course. So he revealed the findings. He revealed some of the files and the intentions of Iran in a very, very simple power. Now, this is the other thing. Oh, my goodness, Ross. I mean, as you mentioned, it's an incredible feat that Mossad has been able to do this. And my understanding is that they did this in February. This information was... they got this information in February of this year. They've only just made it available to the public as to what has happened. And then those on the other side of politics are just, all they can do is make fun of the PowerPoint presentation that Bibi gave.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, you just kind of dismissed that. But listen, the thing is, evidently, Israel has been watching this very, very clandestine hideout move, and they're moving these documents from location to location, and they've been just keeping an eye on it. And evidently, they just said, "Hey, the time is right." So, is that the case that they actually, this event, the smuggling out of documents, took place over a month ago? Is that right?
Yeah, well over a month ago. They Mossad discovered the warehouse. Now, I'm just reading from Times of Israel. It says Mossad discovered the warehouse in February 2016, but the actual mission was executed this February, where they obtained that information and brought it back over. They now it's hundreds, as you mentioned. I mean, just an incredible amount of files, and it's in their language, so it needed to be translated. It needed to be gone through with a fine tooth comb, which it was, and then finally, a few months later, here we are, and they are able to make the presentation of that. Now, that really – and look, Trump, again, he's saying, look, you'll find out what my decision is in regards to this nuclear program, the agreement that we've made with Iran. I always said it was a bad deal. You'll find out what I'm going to do when I tell you, and that won't be until I'm ready. And so he hasn't given too much away, but everyone is speculating that he's going to pull out of the deal. What do you think?
I think he will. I really think he will. And I might have, before some of these other bold moves that have taken place, I might have before said, nah, his team will talk him off the ledge. But this team that he's got, I don't think they're going to talk him off the ledge. I think he literally will pull out of this agreement, even though many people are saying, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Please, please don't do it. Mm. I think he's going to do it.
So they're saying, they're saying don't do it because there's the speculation of if they do do it, will it result in some sort of, you know, will it be the instigation of war, things like that. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because there's been a lot of and we were talking off air about this before, that Trump was the primary motivation for the talks between South and North Korea.
Right.
It looks like that's all calmed down. We're friends now. Let's just.
Well, they said that, to your point, they said that would be war. Oh,
exactly my point. Yeah, they said that'll be war. Oh look. You can't give him the Nobel Peace Prize because he had to threaten war in order to bring about peace. Are you kidding? Of course he did, and it works. So.
He did, and he was calling him stuff like on Twitter, Little Rocket Man. I mean, you know, so when I would see that, I have to admit, you know, I won't give away all my political leanings, but when I would see that, I would think, just take his smartphone. I mean, why would you call the guy Little Rocket Man? But turns out, I mean, now the South Korean leader is saying, hey, Trump deserves the Nobel Peace Prize for this. He's brought him to the table. Now, listen, I was in back in the 80s. Yep. I was stationed in the military in South Korea. Yep. And that was, you know, it's basically still considered a war zone, but they just have a demilitarized zone and they're at a standstill. They're at a truce. Mm. But evidently things are really looking now. I mean, we have to be careful. We have to, you know, not get too excited about this. But things are really way different than what they thought. You know, they said, well, he's going to cause a war.
And when you say, let's not get too excited about it, it's because, you know, North Korea has a history of being unpredictable. So we can't say for certain that it's all going to be rosy. But, yeah, everyone was saying, you know, Trump's going to cause, this is how World War III is going to start. But it looks like everything's, you know, just chilling out nicely. And I really do think, and I like to think that this will be the result too when he says, I'm going to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal. Let's talk tough with Iran. Let's put sanctions, hard sanctions back on them. And let's see what happens. I mean, it really could just work out for the best. And I tell you what, that's just another reason why I'm really impressed with him.
BB is thrilled to death over this. Mm. And one other thing about all these files that got snuck out, you know, that they smuggled out of Iran. One of the things that all the articles that I read said is that there was a wave of arrest after this. Can you imagine being in that department of the Revolutionary Guard and some Israeli agents snuck in and stole hundreds of kilos of documents? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if those people are still walking the earth, to be honest with you, Ross.
Right.
Anyone who was on that watch that night, I don't think are watching anything now.
So let me go ahead and say that there's something really missing in the Iranians' ability to provide security. That not only can they not secure this warehouse with all these documents, they can't even secure the entry point to a soccer game.
This is what I wanted to ask you about because I haven't read this yet, but I saw you shared it. What's happening in Iran?
Yeah, evidently, since 1979, when the current religious regime took over, this very hardline regime that took over under the Khomeini, one of the things that they did was they considered this environment at a soccer game to be a vulgar place. You know, you can't let women go in here because these guys might use foul language. I don't know. I mean, it just said vulgar. I assume they get loud and they use profanity. So we did that. That was the ruling, was that women couldn't go to soccer games. But not only has the Worldwide Soccer Federation raised, said this is troublesome, they've been pushing the current president of Iran to ease up on this. And he at one time said that he would, but he didn't. And I think there's such an unrest there. The people are so ready for change that they're willing to take a chance. You know, we've seen the women who are waving their hijab and even going to prison over things because they're trying to tell the current administration over there that we are sick and tired of this. So these women evidently decided they were not going to miss another game. And they went in, they had fake beards, and, they covered up, I guess, as much as they could, but they dressed like men with fake beards and wigs and went in, and they got in, and they started posting this, you know, like selfies on social media. So you can imagine this is not going well.
No, this is great because I'm looking at the photo now, and when I first saw this photo, I thought this was just a bunch of guys. When I read the headline, I thought I had to look twice and go, oh, right. So these are women in disguise. Now, they do have fake beards. They've got – now, it's clever the way that they've done it because if I would imagine they've done it in such a way that they're not breaking the code of modesty. They have a wig, therefore they have a head covering. They have a flag draped over them. And so I guess one could say that they're modestly dressed according to the regime rules, but they have these fake beards. There they are at a soccer match and no doubt enjoying it. And they've got these photos to prove it. So I hope they really enjoyed themselves, but boy, really, really brave women, because we know that during the protests that I was talking about recently, there were even imprisonment of women who dared to take off their headscarf and wave it like a flag in protest of the current regime rules. So, yeah, very brave of them.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the penalty is. I don't even know if they were captured or if they were arrested. As far as what I could read on the internet, it looks like to this point they have shown themselves on social media. So I'd be surprised if they haven't been arrested yet. You know, if that's not coming down the pipe, but yeah, like you said, good on these girls, guys, whatever. But they, some of them look more real than other. I saw one of the women who had a beard. I mean, that beard looked pretty good.
It does. Who knows? Maybe it's real. I know it
could be.
I hope not. But listen, I mean, I guess, you know, during the every day, they're probably reasonably covered up. It would be difficult to identify them. I don't know. I hope they get away with it. Good on them for their courage. And I hope they really enjoy the game.
Hey, you know what? We have to go to a break. When we get back, you mentioned Saudi Arabia again. Let's just come back and talk a little bit about Saudi Arabia.
I really do. I want to do that. We're going to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Everyone, this is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind with John O'Vandor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. I don't know how many times I've watched this over the past week in absolute hysterics.
I know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Over and over again. And particularly, I love the sound of the slingshot in the rock in the slingshot as it connects with this coconut head, and it just makes that satisfying little. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that bit. And it's great. And what I'm talking about, and it was so poetic, wasn't it? I mean, it's so great. So the rioters, the terrorists on the Gaza border that are taunting Israeli soldiers on the other side who are just merely securing the border line, stopping these terrorists from rushing through into Israel. They're shooting slingshots at rocks. They're sending kites over the border with fire rags and whatnot.
Nazi emblazed with Nazi symbols
and flags flying and all this sort of stuff. I mean, some really, my goodness, the rowdy and intimidating anti-Semitic behavior that's going. Anyway, there's a video that I hope everyone has seen. Now, if you haven't seen it, we have shared it. It only goes for like 5-10 seconds. We've shared it on the Israel on My Mind Facebook page. But it is, of course, of a Gaza border rioter who accidentally clocks his mate in the head with his slingshot. So he's got his large rock in the slingshot about to fling it over at the IDF soldiers. He's swinging.
And wait. Do you see? You like the little skip? I mean, it's like he's jumping rope. He's skipping as he swings this. He's putting everything he. Yeah, he has everything he has in it. There's no telling how many rocks this guy has thrown at or slung at Israeli troops. Yeah. He's probably pretty good at it, but he lets it go too early.
Well, he doesn't even get to let it go. What he does is he's swinging it. He's building up the momentum. The thing is really flying. It's swung around a few times. He's getting ready to let it go when he changes his angle and one of his mates walks behind him, absolutely clocks him on top of the head. Just smacks him. But the guy behind him smacks him on the head, makes up that beautiful little sound, and down he goes. Oh, my goodness. Holds his head. Everyone rushes over and goes, oh, you know, what? You know, takes him away. I mean, I would love to find out what happened to this guy. How many stitches did he get?
The guy that actually clocks him in the head, he's one of the first one to his buddy's side. Yeah. You know, it's like he. But, you know, they say that if you get knocked out, like if you get knocked unconscious, you don't remember like the split second right before. Right. So maybe he can say that the Israelis threw something at him. You know,
because
he's
would
not
going to
admit. Which,
like, no, you wouldn't
you
admit
crack
it.
Your buddy in the head. You're not going to say it was me. You're going to say, I saw them when they threw the rock. They're the ones that did it, you know. He's going to try to get out of it.
He would, but, I mean, I reckon this video went viral. I don't think he's going to get away with it. This video absolutely went viral. It's amazing that it made it out of Gaza, but it really is golden. It's so poetic. Honestly, watched it maybe 100 times, and we'll probably watch it 100 times more. Now, this is just some of the Palestinian shenanigans that's going on, and the Saudi crown prince had something to say about this. What did he say?
He did. Our Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, said the other day that the Palestinians should shut up or make peace. In other words, just quit complaining. I mean, over and over and over, he said that these Palestinians have missed opportunities and rejected all peace proposals because all they're doing is they're stalling and they don't have any intention of a peace agreement. Now, the article that I read was in the J Post, and he told the group, the Crown Prince told the group, that Palestinian statehood is not the top issue. He's more focused on the Iranian threat. Now, we know his father has different views. We've seen that his father is making it very clear every chance he gets to jump in and say, hey, we really are concerned about their plight. But yeah, Mohammed bin Salman says, just shut up or come to the table. Mm. One of the two.
Mm. Good on him. I'm liking this guy.
I am too. I mean, we're still watching him. We're gonna keep an eye on him. But I tell you what, now the biggest thing that we have to worry about is other Arab leaders who have sought to make peace with Israel. You know, we have to watch. Remember Anwar Sadat and some of these guys. I mean, you just never know. Is someone else going to take him out? That's the real concern. Mm. Won't be by drone around his palace, though. He doesn't put up with a lot of that.
That's for sure. Oh, man. Anyway.
Well, and you know, but one other point on this. Someone posted an article. I saw it earlier in the week, and it showed a village that was just demolished. It was in rubble.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, look at this Palestinian village. It's been destroyed. The people have no running water, no electricity. Many have been displaced. Many have been killed. But it's not going to be talked about at the UN because it didn't happen in Israel. It happened in Syria. See, and that's the point, is that everyone's virulent hatred is not based on injustice to a people, i.e. the quote-unquote Palestinian people, but it's really all about hating Israel. Speaking of terrorists and all of that sort of thing, there was an article in the J-Post this week about the Knesset passing a bill preventing terrorists from being MKs.
Yeah, that's handy, isn't it? That's
you would think that rule was already on the books, Jonah. I mean, it's not, though. It's not. I mean, it is now. It had to pass. It did.
Can you imagine,
pass.
Like, someone's just sort of going through the fine print? No one ever reads the fine print, Ross. I'm not one to read the fine print. But some studious person obviously sat down, hours on end, lots of coffee in front of them, midnight hours, going through the fine print, and said, you know what? There's nothing preventing terrorists from being MKs. We better do something about that. Can we make a law?
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. Either that or someone who is a terrorist said, I think I'm going to run for office. I mean, there's nothing here that says I can't.
Yeah.
But this bill was put forward, and here are the stipulations. So you could still do it if you keep a clean record for a little while. Mm. But if you've been convicted of terrorism related to heinous crimes, you can't be in one of these positions, in these government positions, until you've been out of prison for 14 years. All right. Now, this vote, so you just have to wait a little while. You just have to really keep your record clean.
Yep.
But 86-10, this particular law passed, and this is specifically prohibiting people who have had crimes which resulted in 7 years or more of prison term.
All right.
So if you're a bad guy, you just can't jump in and run for office.
Good. Well, I'm glad they got on top of that. Yeah.
But that's not a rule in the U.S., evidently.
Really?
I'm ashamed, but listen to this. Here's what I know. This was in Times of Israel. There is a top California Senate challenger who is a white supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
He's got anti-Semitic agenda. The guy's name is Patrick Little. Little Patrick.
Little Patrick.
So Little Patrick is endorsed. Little Pat. He is endorsed by former KKK leader David Duke, who is a real jerk.
Uh-huh.
This guy, I watched his video. Now, you can't watch it on the article. So if we posted the article on our Facebook page, if you try to watch it there, there are all kind of flags that say, hey, this contains some things that might upset you. Click here to watch it on YouTube. So when you go to YouTube, again, you get all kind of flags saying this guy's a jerk. You know, he says ugly things. Uh-huh. But if you really want to watch it. So I did. I watched it. And his whole spiel takes about 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Says that he has dedicated his entire life to exposing these Jews that control our country.
Good heavens.
He's hateful. He's got 18% right now.
Really?
He's moving up. He's appealing to people on this Make America White Again is what he's trying to do.
Oh, man.
He's really a clown. But he's gaining a little bit of foothold, and he's trying to appeal to other idiots who have the same ideology. And he's very, very hateful. He used some bad language, which I would not repeat. But on here, he talks about this Zionist woman who is the current Democrat who is in office that he's running against. He calls her a really bad name, ties Zionist with another name.
Wow.
So, yeah, this guy's, I mean, but I would hope that even in California, I have some good friends that live in California, and mm-hmm. so there are wonderful people there. But California is, I don't see him winning in California. I would think that he would not be able to unseat this Democrat leader right now. But still, the fact that someone like that with such hateful views can have 18% of anything.
That's
that's shocking.
That is shocking. It is absolutely shocking. Well, let's hope that he gets nowhere and that his demise is soon, because, that's really unfortunate. But just coming back to laws that are passed in Israel, just a couple of other things that I saw this week. Israel National News. Israel to clamp down on illegally firing weapons.
Uh-huh.
That's a good idea, too.
That is a good idea. You'd think some of these things were already on the books, but...
you would have thought so. And another one, what's this one? This is... Okay. This is in the J Post. Police uncover factory producing illegal alcohol in central Israel. Now, not only were they producing illegal alcohol, and I suppose what that means is that you need a license to produce alcoholic beverages and products for sale, but they were counterfeiting as well, Ross. They were counterfeiting. They were making recognized brands, counterfeiting the bottles and labels and selling them off as original. How about that?
Man, I'll tell you what, Jono, this show just flew by. I think we're out of time.
Oh, we are out of time. That's it. We're done. We will be back this time next week. Hope you enjoyed it. Please join us again. And until then, have a great one.
Have a beautiful week.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.